Good morning, and welcome in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. This is The Blitz. I'm Charlie Collier. To my left is Andy Brock. Back behind the board, Mr. Sam Beard. As we get you off and rolling here on your Tuesday. We get you 2 hours closer to your lunch break. Well, probably just to your lunch break. And the sun's shining. How about that?
It's a good day.
We haven't seen the sun in like a good four.
I feel like
days.
It was.
We got a little, I guess, at the end of yesterday.
Was it like the tail of the hurricane that was doing this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you were in Johnson City, like it's just been raining.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That has to be it.
Because I know
has Ian dissipated completely now? Is he?
I think
he gone?
Is it maybe? I mean, it turned into like a tropical depression, I think, and then I think it moves up the coast. I don't know. I mean, surely it's gone.
Guess so.
Because it was raining in like Baltimore on Sunday, so maybe it's in Maine. Maybe it's just slightly overcast in Portland, Maine today.
Mm. It'd be impressive if it got all the way up
tougher
there.
Tougher on the end of crab season. Or maybe it's the start of crab season.
There's a lot
I don't
going
know what
on
crab
in Maine.
Season is.
A lot going on in Maine.
I feel like, I don't know. When do you think crabs, deadliest catch, or do they do crabs, or they only do
That's
like
lobster.
Salmon?
You're talking. I think lobsters is Maine's deal.
Lobster, yeah. Lobster, really, the biggest marketing like success in the history of probably the modern world.
What? Lobsters?
Yeah.
Wait, why?
Like, that is the biggest marketing PR success story.
Do you not like them?
Well, you know that they were just like...
Oh, just how they've gotten like...
Yeah,
so,
I mean, they were seen as like the
that,
rodents
yeah.
of the sea. Like, yeah. They were seen as completely worthless... you know, just like undesirable.
I get you. Now you got to pay $100.
Yeah, I mean they were like, I don't know. What's another just cheap, like not super desirable meat?
I don't know. Meat's pretty expensive in general.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was like that. And then one day someone was like, let's just sell less of them.
Make it really nice.
Make it a little bit harder to get them and. Like
fancy shell
and market them like they're this big delicacy, and it worked. And now it's just like, oh, lobster, fancy.
Mm-hmm. Shout out
just
lobster,
a big marketing ploy. That's why I refuse to eat lobster.
Is that why?
Just why that? Else would it be?
I mean, I feel like you don't like the taste of it.
Maybe. I mean, I think it's a mediocre taste. I think it's not the TPD is not high enough for me.
TPD?
Yeah.
What is that?
Taste per dollar.
Okay. I get that.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
I'd say it's more like a...
It's good. It's
FPD, maybe? Flavor per dollar?
It's good. It's just not like... You know, it's very hit or miss. You have to do it really
it's
well.
It's like... It's like a good... Like fried chicken quality of like price. You know? Say it's comparable to like a chicken dinner at like a Cracker Barrel, like a nice little $12. You get a chicken and two sides.
Know. I don't know if it's that. If it's going that low, one, but
I think that's like what the flavor of lobster is to me. I also just don't like a ton of seafood. I like grouper and like mahi, but that's just about it.
That's what I was getting towards
Rain.
More.
Rain. This is how we got there.
Yep. Sunny outside.
Yes, it is. Congratulations to us. Congratulations to all the residents of Knoxville and beyond. If it's sunny, just hey, congrats. I remember I was in Morristown Friday, and like all week they projected pouring rain, and then it just barely stayed east. But like we were just watching the radar, and there was just a giant wall of rain, and it just poured on Johnson City, and it was just like just kept
just
circulating,
missed.
And you could see it. As you sat there in the press box, like to the left of you was sunshine, and to the right of you was just pitch black.
Mm.
It's kind of cool.
Right at the tail.
So, yeah, that's – I think – I don't know where the rain is these days, though. but it's around.
We've been doing good keeping up with the weather the last week.
We're a weather show.
This is a weather show.
Andy, how are you today?
I'm good. Man, I drove here with my trunk open accidentally. I don't know how that happened.
Did anything fall out?
No, I didn't have anything in there. It's just it was like one of those things where you just look dumb driving on the road, your trunk's open. So I had to deal with that. That was nice. Other than that, I'm good. It, you know, no complaints at this point. Felt like last week moved pretty quickly. Now we got game week, a little bit more to dissect, a little bit more to talk about.
No, the whole trunk open thing, right?
Yeah.
This summer, like towards the end of the summer, I went golfing with Sam and another one of my friends. And we got back to my apartment, and I, like, dropped – they both got their stuff out, and they went home. And whichever one of the two of you, Sam, got their stuff out last did not close the tailgate. So I still had the cover on top, but the tailgate was still open. And my golf clubs were not in even in the back. They were, like, half on the tailgate. And I also had, like, some other stuff that was sitting on the tailgate, like my pair of shoes.
Just dangerously hanging there.
I had no idea that they were hanging there, like, when you guys got out. So then I go back to his house to help him move something. I get on the interstate, and I drove from my apartment to his house and got on and off the interstate with my tailgate open and with the golf clubs hanging out onto the tailgate and my golf shoes just sitting on the tailgate.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal.
And it somehow just didn't fall. Like, I got to his place, and I was like, I could have just, like,
yeah,
not only lost my golf clubs, but also probably caused, like, a pretty severe accident.
Yeah.
Why did no one honk at me? Like, why was there not one person on the interstate that was like, oh, that doesn't look right? And like, hey, beep, beep, check out your tailgate.
But yeah, I mean, thankfully I didn't have anything back there, but like, it had just, how dumb does it look?
I felt so stupid. I was just like, I can't, I didn't want to drive in Knoxville for like a week because I didn't want someone to drive by my truck and be like, Butler football sticker. Yeah, that's the idiot that drives
the golf club guy.
Golf club guy, honey. There he is.
Yeah, I was on the interstate. It's just like, there's nothing I can do right now until I get off, and then I can shut it. But it was just like, just a painful. That's just like another. It's just a different embarrassment that you don't realize is embarrassing until it happens. And not really much you can do about it.
No, it's. Sam. Thumbs up. Thumbs down. Good. Bad.
Thumbs up. Doing pretty good. Yeah. Kind of just a normal day yesterday. I don't know. This weather's making me feel pretty good. I'm liking just having like a cool 60. 65.
I prefer about 8 degrees warmer.
This is honestly close to my ideal temperature, I would say. Like maybe like 4 or 5 degrees warmer, or just like a little bit more sun just to feel a little bit more warmth. But like, I don't know. We're getting into that start of October. That's my favorite type of weather.
No, I do like how versatile like this weather is. Like if I want to wear my shorts and a t-shirt, I can. If I want to throw on a light hoodie, good to go. If I want to go long sleeve shorts, I'm good to go. If I want to go pants and short sleeves, I'm good to go. If I want to double down, maybe a little warm, but not awful.
You kind of just go with whatever.
It's kind of perfect.
You just pick whatever. I don't wear pants.
So like, I don't know. I wear shorts until never.
I was gonna. That's actually true. I actually don't think I've seen you wear a pair of pants.
No, I mean I own 2 pair of jeans, I own 1 pair of khakis, and I own 1 pair of sweatpants.
So what are like the instances that you will wear pants? Like a job interview, if you're ever to have one.
I don't know if I've had one.
I don't know if you need one.
I don't think I've ever had a job interview.
Like when do you wear pants?
Last time I wore khaki pants was to a wedding.
Okay. That would be one.
I wear jeans and boots sometimes to broadcast football. Like I feel like, you know, okay, that's nice enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll wear like jeans to like a concert or a sporting event or like a night out.
Okay.
Because
you can't
like
go certain
extremely
places
extremely cold out.
And like, I'll wear sweatpants if it's like below like 15 or below, or if like I'm planning on like getting wet while it's cold.
One pair of sweatpants, Charlie?
I think maybe two. I think I have like, or they call them joggers, right? The ones that are like kind of tight down your leg.
Yes, that is what they call them.
Yeah, joggers. I think I don't know if I'm just big or if they're joggers, but I have a pair of those that are Tennessee orange. So I can wear my, when am I going to wear bright orange Tennessee joggers? You know what? I'll wear them tomorrow. That's when.
All
right,
go.
And then I have like, yeah, just like a. Some gray, normal, like, Butler sweatpants.
So you've got very team-oriented pants.
One thing you'll learn about me, Andy, is, like, roughly 93% of my clothes are team.
Team-oriented.
Team-themed, yeah.
I like that. I do appreciate that.
Like, I think it used to be probably, like, 97, 98%. But that number's dropped a little bit as I've just bought some, like, other T-shirts. Like, this one that just has Alan Jackson's face, and it says, hotter than a hoochie coochie. So, like, I own some of those type shirts now, but no, I don't. I don't own a T-shirt that's a plain color. That's just like nothing. It doesn't have, or that's just like a logo of a brand. I don't own a single one of those. It's either like a cool looking, like funny shirt, or it's a sports team.
Sometimes those just normal shirts are the way to go. Straight colors, like they're very cheap too.
Like both of you right now are just wearing like plain colored, like
I don't have a lot of team oriented things.
I don't own any of that. Like I don't own anything shirt. Shorts, whatever wise, that looks like it's just a plain color with a logo on it.
I don't own a lot of team-oriented things. Like, I went to the Tennessee-Florida game. I was like, I don't have a shirt. I don't have anything to wear.
Find that strange.
I had to go get something. I had to go get a little Tennessee polo.
Find that kind of strange, Andy.
I don't
know. Just like a sports guy as you are.
I'm kind of somewhere in the middle of that. Like, I don't have a lot of, like, sports-oriented things, but, like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of more with Andy here. I think you might be in the minority a little bit here, Charlie.
I mean,
or just like in terms of like us.
I could wear a different like team oriented, player oriented shirt for half a year.
And it never run out.
Like, legitimately, just, I think
like different ones.
Probably 100 days.
Just
at
a
least
different
100
one.
Days. No more. I would say more. Probably like 150, 200 days.
That would
if
be
you
a good,
include jerseys.
That might be a good wheel challenge for you. Like a specific one for Charlie.
You have to wear the same jersey for a whole month. But it has nothing to do with any of the teams you like.
Or we pick out one of Charlie's teams
like
and
a
he
Matt
has to
Ryan
find
Colts
a
jersey.
Shirt for it for like 2 months straight.
I mean, like if you told me like, hey, you can only wear Titan stuff for 2 months, yeah. I'm
yeah, good. I mean that's
not even
what at what point is it pushing it? Like wearing a new Titans shirt every single day for how many months is going to be like, when are you going to run out?
Hey, how many Titans shirts do you have?
Probably have 14 jerseys.
Wow. What's your favorite one?
We're almost through a month.
I got 14 jerseys halfway there. I probably have 20 t-shirts.
Man.
All right, so we're over a month now.
Two shorts.
Okay.
Shoes.
You have Titan shoes?
Yeah.
No way.
And probably 3 jackets / like hoodies.
Okay. That's a lot lower than I would have thought. I would have thought you like I feel like hoodies would be the one thing that would be
I might
easy
actually
to compile.
Not have, I have 4. I have 4.
Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah, so you could get through like a solid 40 something days probably.
Yeah, and that's just the Titans.
And I might have even lowballed t-shirts honestly. I'm going
yeah,
to
Yeah, I feel like you
it.
Did.
Maybe not though. But like Vols 3 months, easy.
How do you keep up with all these clothes?
I have a big. I use the entirety of my closet. Color coordinated though.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is pretty funny. I have seen it. He's got it like it's kind of like team oriented almost.
Yeah. So
and then
I.
It's just Hawaiian shirts.
I have my closet grouped right. I have it color coded on the top part, and then there's like a side left part, and that I have grouped by jerseys.
Mm.
Polos and Hawaiian shirts. And then the Hawaiian shirts are there, and the polos are sorted by what team they are, and then the jerseys are sorted by what team they are.
I like that.
And then I think I have what, like 4 other polos, 5 other polos that aren't teams.
For all the Titans jerseys you have, which one's your favorite?
That's a tough ask. Maybe my Randy Moss jersey.
Randy Moss? Titans jersey?
Yeah.
All right.
Went from the 2 weeks that he was a Titan
yeah.
during the Rusty Smith days.
It's like, all right.
I like to get like jerseys like that. I have a like I have a Julio one.
I haven't gotten
I have
a jersey
Adrian,
in
I have
so
an Adrian
long.
Peterson one.
I can't even think of the last jersey I got.
The last jersey I got one of the black Tennessee jerseys. Like a month
okay,
ago.
Nice.
Before that, I got the Nationals Bloom Day jerseys, the gray ones, and I also bought a Jeffrey Simmons jersey.
Okay. See, I if I were to get another jersey, I think it would be a Tennessee baseball. I want the Sunday cream jerseys, but those are so hard to get.
I think you can get one. We can get you one. We'll get you one this offseason or this season.
Yeah.
Before the season starts.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Well, we're off and rolling here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We'll get into some Tennessee news on the other side. Back here on the Blitz, we're live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hey, make the switch to White Claw. Dish to beer belly bloat this football season. Cheer on the Big Orange with White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted with quality ingredients, White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base with just a hint of fruit flavor. It's only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and it is 5% alcohol. Available in many deliciously refreshing flavors. And as always, please remember to drink responsibly. So, Andy, we have good news. We have bad news. We have undefined news.
Okay.
Where would you like to begin?
Let's start with the bad and work our way up.
We'll start
positive. We end on a positive note.
We'll start with the bad.
Get it out of
we'll start with the bad, then to the good, then to the undefined.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll leave with a question mark then.
Yeah, we'll leave with a question mark. Or maybe we can even define
okay.
that question mark.
Ah.
Yeah.
Problem solve.
Well, the Vols. Their starting cornerback, Warren Burrell, out for the season. Josh Heupel announced at his weekly press conference yesterday. Kind of announced, just threw it in at the end. We were joking about that. But, yeah, he said that Warren Burrell underwent surgery on an upper body injury that was suffered at the end of the Pittsburgh game, and he will miss the remainder of the 2022 season. Burrell had started the first two games of the year. He was replaced in the last two by Christian Charles, who's been so-so. It's a position where you don't really have a lot of depth or necessarily the most talent in the world. So usually when you lose even though I don't think any of us thought that like Warren Burrell is necessarily like a difference maker in the secondary, he's still apparently the best you had. So, you know, in a group that that lacks depth and kind of lacks talent, seeing an injury like that, obviously tough. 22 game starter in his career. He looked a little bit better this year. They did, I guess, catch the game-tying touchdown on him against Pitt, but he had 12 tackles. He had a pass breakup. He'd allowed 12 catches for 103 yards on 20 targets the first two games. So, you know, middle of the pack at best. But, you know, now you're looking at, again, you're looking at Charles starting opposite of him. But the good news, right? We'll tie these two together. The good news is that D. Williams, it looks like he's going to be back for Tennessee this weekend. It feels like D. Williams is like a made-up person at this point. Like, it feels like we've just never seen him. Have you seen D. Williams?
Hasn't he been hurt, though, a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I know he's been hurt the entire season, but like
you definitely like to see him.
I feel like he's just like a figure that we've just heard the name D. Williams, but like we've never seen like a picture of him, a video of him. We've never seen anything about him.
Yeah.
So apparently he exists, and apparently he is going to be active this weekend potentially. That's what Josh Heupel said Monday. He said he's expected to be available. What that means, you know, the extent of his availability. Undefined.
Yeah.
Does that mean that he's going to be on a snap count and like work his way into the secondary? Maybe. Does it mean that like you're going to just try to get him out on the field and in like a special teams capacity? He was, you know, slated to be your punt returner. But perhaps, or maybe, you know, he's playing in a much more expanded role. Maybe he's starting opposite of Kamal Hatton. Who knows? But, you know, is that almost like is that maybe a one for one though with D. Williams and Warren Burrell? Maybe, maybe not. D. Williams doesn't have the experience, but where's Tennessee's secondary at? You know, following I guess the news of yesterday, Andy. Where's your confidence level? Up, down?
Yeah, I mean it's got to be down from this news. This was already a unit that was the big question mark for this defense. Ninth in the SEC in passing yards allowed. It was the group that you knew had to come together and improve when you go head to head against teams remaining on your schedule, you know, Alabama and Georgia and a lot of really good passers in the SEC. You need that unit to be strong. So to lose one of your more important pieces is obviously It's tough. I mean, you lose depth one. You lose one of your more experienced guys. And I know he hasn't been there for the last 2 weeks already, so you've already had to make that adjustment. But just the fact that now it's you don't have a future this season with Warren Burrell, it does create a little extra pressure on the other guys, I think, sooner than you expected in this season. I mean, you expected a lot of these guys to contribute already, but now they just got a bigger role, and there's just less depth with that unit. So I think it's going to be up to them to kind of, as you know, as a unit, as a group, to take stock in what they've got now and say, all right, well, we need someone to really step up here. Like, we're a top 10 team. We're down one of our more experienced guys here. Like, this is a piece of our defense that's extremely important for the rest of the season. We've had a week off, a bye week. You just need guys to step up now. And I think, you know, that's probably been clear for a while. I don't know when they've known that Warren wasn't going to be back. So maybe this is just like either just now coming out as news, or this is something that's been known for a while. But it certainly does create a lot of pressure. It hopefully for some of the guys who haven't gotten an option as much, like a D. Williams, it's an excitement for them in a sense that, you know, it's now their turn. They can step up and make a little bit of an impact felt. So I don't know. Obviously, it's not good news. As we've said, it's bad news. You lose one of your most experienced guys at a group that, you know, is still trying to get up to a better form than where they've been at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and again, I mean, we've seen them, the last 2 weeks. It's been Christian Charles, but, like, they've tried out Christian Harrison. They've tried out Deshaun Rucker. Like, they've tried out Brandon Turnage. They still just kind of mix in different people trying to figure out if anyone can step up and you know, seize that other outside corner spot, and it doesn't really feel like anyone has. So it's almost like, I don't want to say it like that. I was going to say, like, Warren Burrell is kind of like the evil that you know, but he's not. I mean, he wasn't, like, that bad. You know, I'm just saying, like, you know what you were going to get with Warren Burrell. It wasn't going to be incredible, but, like, it wasn't going to be the worst thing you've ever seen either. And now I think, I guess, you know, there's a bigger question mark there. But I'm excited about D. Williams. I am. He was the number two junior college corner in the 2022 class. He played at East Central Community College. In his season a year ago, 14 pass breakups, 7 interceptions, and 4-1 game. He averaged nearly 30 yards per kick return. And he averaged, that doesn't make sense.
I saw this too. I was like, there's no way that he's averaging that.
This is what it says. So I'll read to you what it says, and I would question this, but it says he averaged 50.7 yards on punt returns in 2021.
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
that's a lot of yards.
I hope so. That's published by GoVols 247, so.
That is a lot of yards.
I hope so.
Did he just have two?
Well, yeah, it depends. Like, how many?
I don't know. But
how many returns are we?
They
talking?
Said that's what he had, and wow. They expect him. I mean, he was expected to return punts for Tennessee coming into the year, so maybe he will be. But
let's see it. Yeah, I want to see it.
I want to see that.
I want to see it.
He had an 87-yard touchdown.
I want to see it.
In his entire junior college career, I mean, 103 tackles, 13 interceptions.
Man.
So, I mean, you know, JUCO guys can always be a little bit iffy. You never know exactly what you're going to get. But when I see 13 interceptions, that does tell me one thing. Like, he has the ability to play the ball in the air. And that translates from the high school level to the JUCO level to the FCS level to the Group of Five level to the Power Five level to the highest level of football in the NFL. Like, if you have that natural instinct, that natural ability to play a ball in the air, to intercept footballs, like that doesn't go away no matter what level that you're at. And that's what this defense needs. They don't need, well, I mean, they do need, you know, some lockdown corners, but they don't have that. So what they need in the meantime, in between time, they need some guys that can go be opportunistic, that can just kind of have that nose for the football, that natural instinct to go with get the football. They need someone like that in their secondary to try to get this offense extra possessions to continue to keep that possession advantage while your defense still tries to build. And maybe D. Williams can be that, because, again, I expect that ball-hawking ability to translate. Will he be a shutdown corner? Will he, you know, will he be able to stay in his man's pocket and run the routes for him and everything else? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But I think if there's a ball that he can go get, you know, he can go make a play on a football.
And I think you're right. You know, a lot of JUCO guys, you come in and you'd be a little bit more cautious with them, get them up to speed, get them into your system, into this new level. But now, at an extent, you kind of throw the cautiousness out the window, maybe, just given that you need someone to step up in this spot. So maybe that's just a sense now. It's like, all right, let's see what we can do.
I assume he'll be afforded the opportunity against LSU. I mean, again, you never quite know with Josh Heupel. It's interesting. The kind of coach that he's quickly becoming, where, you know, everything is like the nuclear codes. You can't, you're not going to know anything about what he's up to, but
it's kind of in like a fun way too. Like, it's not like he's ever like serious. He's kind of just like, oh, we'll figure it out. And he's usually got a smile. So he's just like, yeah, he's got his ways.
You can appreciate it, you know,
and it's like kind of funny.
If you want to keep things in house, keep it in house.
Yeah. It's not one where you're like frustrated. It's when you're just like, ah, there it is again. You know, I'm not going to get much.
Turns out, you can be exactly like Nick Saban with the media, and people won't get mad at you if you just smile.
Like, oh, there he goes again.
Like, if you just frown, you're like, we're not telling you anything about that. You know, we'll know more about that later. Yeah. People are like,
they're saying
this,
the same
this
thing.
This guy won't tell us anything. But if you're Josh Heupel and you send him a little smile and a
little smirk,
yeah, we'll figure that out as the week goes along. People are like, okay, sounds good, Josh.
Great. Yeah.
Awesome. I mean. D. Williams, to me, I don't know. Maybe he can provide a spark to your secondary. For what it's worth, I texted a couple guys that I know that, you know, work down in the JUCO world of Mississippi.
Whoa!
This morning, I asked them thoughts on D. Williams. You know, you've either played against, you know, your team's played against him, or like you've seen him in person a good bit. What do you expect? And one person told me, very good athlete. Solid rotational piece, not someone you necessarily want to maybe rely on to be a full-time starting corner. And the other person told me, I really like this kid, and I think Tennessee got a steal. So take that for what it's worth. Yeah. Hopefully the second guy's right. that's your bad news and your good news.
What was the good news?
Your good news is that D. Williams
is playing. Right. You're right. That is good news.
It is. Yeah, very good news.
Very good news.
And your bad news was that Warren Burrell not
it's,
playing.
It's bad news.
Again, for the rest of the season.
I'm on the edge of my seat for this.
The Undefined?
Undefined.
The Undefined. Well, we can get to that on the other side. Sam, send us to break. Mary, on that roadside picking blackberry. Back here on the Blitz. Hey, the Big Orange Philly phone lines are open. 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in. Big Orange Phillies, they're located at 6625 Maynardville Pike in Halls. They're a great spot for a quick lunch or some burgers and beers with friends after work. If you can't make it, well, they deliver too. You can go check it out at Grubhub to get them to deliver some Big Orange Phillies right to you. And, if you're looking for something to do on the weekends, well, they have pool, darts, karaoke, and live music. Big Orange Phillies, it is a must. It is a must in terms of Knoxville locations when you're coming to town. You can check out the full menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. And again, your number to call in, 865-546-8200. So we got to the bad news. Warren Burrell out for the year. We got to good news. D. Williams, he's back, presumably, according to Josh Heupel. And I think we can take Josh Heupel's word there, or else he wouldn't have said anything. That's the Josh Heupel way. So D. Williams back. We still have one more good news, two more undefined news, as we just kind of run through the Tennessee news of the day. Where shall I go next, Andy?
I don't know. I'm interested to hear where you're going to go next.
Well, I'm asking you. You want the other good news, or there's two two undefined.
We're adding. Let's go ahead and do the other good news, and then we'll just start figuring out problems.
The other good news: Tennessee, Alabama has been slated 3:30 CBS kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I love a good
I don't know. Part of me
CBS
does want to have a kneeling at night in the SEC.
I believe that'll be Kentucky.
Okay.
I feel like I have a... let's see.
It will be, I think.
Look at that weekend.
Because, I mean, there's only so many games that CBS will come to Knoxville, I imagine. So
yeah,
I feel like this
Alabama's
is probably the last
like, what,
one.
Like four in a row. Three in a row.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, they're not all at Alabama. Like, I'm sure we'll get maybe another one.
I think this might be our last one.
I mean, I couldn't imagine. Maybe Tennessee, Georgia.
Maybe if there's like an off week for other SEC teams where there's not a lot of other, like, yeah, us and Georgia could get it.
Yeah, Georgia.
Sure.
The week that we played, when is the week that we played Georgia? November 5th.
It's late November.
That week, Alabama, LSU, Kentucky, Missouri, Auburn, Mississippi State, Liberty, Arkansas. That's a funny one.
That's fun.
Florida A&M and South Carolina Vanderbilt. Nope. So, I mean, yeah, that one's probably either you or Alabama.
Not to get too far ahead of myself, but Georgia, Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't do anything stupid between now
one
and then, that could
two.
Probably be. And we're one.
One versus two. Imagine that. That'd be too stressful.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be too stressful. In between the hedges, too.
If Tennessee is 8-1 going into that game, are we going? Are you going?
I really
want
to go to that game.
To Georgia?
Yeah.
I do.
You going
really
to that?
Go. You should.
I don't know.
You should.
I probably might. Yeah, I probably will.
That was the one road game that I said at the beginning of the year is like if I were to go to, it would probably be Athens.
I've got a couple buddies down there. I'll probably end up.
I've kind of written that game off as just like I'm not going again.
Well,
I'm
obviously
not going to Georgia.
It's intimidating. Yeah, it's intimidating given that.
But then someone asked me this weekend, they're like, "You going to Athens?" And part of me was like,
"Maybe,
you know, maybe, maybe I will."
I looked
we'll
a little more vulnerable.
Go.
It is at home, so advantage you know them that they get to be at home. But like Athens is just close.
I've had two brutal experiences in Athens.
I've had one phenomenal experience at Athens, so I want to go back.
I went my sophomore and my senior year. My sophomore year.
Was that the fumble that ended up back in the quarterback's hands or the tight end's hands?
The tight end that scooped and scored? Yeah, that was that game. Right. But also, I was dating a girl at the time. I brought her. She was like, she got mad.
Uh-oh.
Just argued with me the entire time.
Ooh.
And then we had to drive back after so she could, like, go to church with her family in the morning. So then I, like, drove back after the game, and she was just, like, mean the whole time on the drive home.
This sounds like a whole other story.
Yeah.
A whole segment
so, like,
for
that was – and then we also just got dominated by Georgia. So, like, that was a bad weekend. And that was a terrible weekend. And then we just broke up the next day.
Oh, man.
Yeah. While I was at a Titans-Eagles game. But we did. Man. We did beat the Eagles in overtime. So, actually, that did save the weekend. And then I went during the COVID year too, and
I
paid
that game
so much for tickets.
Yeah, because I bet there was not a lot.
There
of
weren't
seats
a lot,
open, yeah.
But I had one.
Wow.
Yeah, and I went with like I was.
Oh, that was a really good game though for the first half. Like,
yeah, for the first
half.
Yeah,
I remember that now. I that whole season is like really hard to remember. Like it's
I
just like
it
it's
all too
it
well.
Just because it like started late. It just like I couldn't go to any of the games. It was just like. It was weird. So
I was still going.
How
to
exciting that first half was,
bad.
And Josh Palmer was having a phenomenal game.
Man, well, it was. I went with like John Reed and some of his friends, and they just got so mad at Tennessee's performance that they just left in the fourth quarter and drove back to Knoxville. But like, I was gonna like
went on back.
I think I was going to, like, sleep on the couch of, like, John's friend that he was there with. But I didn't really know John's friend, so then I just didn't have somewhere to stay. And then I had to, like, convince my cousin to, like, let me sleep on a Best Western floor.
Mm.
Yeah, so I've had two terrible experiences in Athens. I remember calling my dad at halftime of that game, being like, hey, I think we might actually be good again. This might be real.
That fumble, like, first
we,
drive?
We got the goal line stand to go into halftime. I was like,
all right.
We're back?
Yeah.
We're back, and then, yeah, so I don't know. Athens scares me. I've had nothing but bad experiences there.
Love Athens. Athens has treated me great the one time I've been.
So I don't know.
Best game I'll ever see, so I don't know
if I want
to go back
and ruin it. I feel like that could be 3:30 CBS, though, but then the Kentucky weekend, there's only five SEC games, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, South Carolina, Arkansas,
Florida,
Auburn,
Georgia
Ole Miss, A&M, and Kentucky, Tennessee.
Florida, Georgia's always.
So, yeah, Florida, Georgia is 3:30 CBS
game.
Already.
It just always
no,
is.
No, it already is.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's predetermined.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's already the 3:30
So that'll
CBS
definitely
game.
Be the 7 o'clock.
So then you'd imagine, like, ESPN then picks from the other four what they want as their 7 p.m. primetime game.
It could be that one.
I think that'll probably be Tennessee, Kentucky. So I think that's where you get your night game. And Kentucky, you know, will probably be at that point. I'd imagine. I mean, they're 4-1 now. They have two games in between now and then.
You get your noon game at UT Martin.
I would be shocked if that Kentucky game is not a night game with us wearing the black uniforms.
I imagine it's
black.
Well,
it's 2 days before Halloween as well.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I imagine, yeah, that's Tennessee, Kentucky, black uniforms. Yep.
I mean, that might be 100% like lock it in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I would put a lot of money on that right now.
I would too. But if you're Tennessee in between now and then, you know, you got LSU, Alabama, and UT Martin. So take care of business and make sure you're not sitting there at like 5-2.
True.
And for Kentucky, they're going to have a big game with Mississippi State the week before, and or actually the 2 weeks before because they have a bye, and they don't necessarily handle Mississippi State too well. So things could obviously change there. But anyway, Tennessee, Alabama, 3:30. Good news. I love a good 3:30 game. I love that game specifically is at 3:30. That one just feels the third Saturday in October at 3:30.
It should be a
3:30
game.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
It feels correct.
That one year that it was at Alabama and they debuted their big light show, it's like this doesn't feel like Tennessee,
Alabama.
That
was awful. That was like a 9 p.m. Eastern time kickoff.
Yeah, it was so late.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die in Tuscaloosa that day.
Yeah. I will say there is, like, you talk about an intimidating, like, atmospheres. It does get so intimidating at night anywhere in the SEC. I feel like
the Chick-fil-A in Bryant Denny saved my life that night.
That night, the elephant screech that Alabama plays, it was a little more scarier. it was a little scarier that night.
At AL.com or whatever. They put together like a video of sad Tennessee fans from that game.
Really?
And I was just like the cover of the video.
Really?
Yeah. I'll find it. But
I love Trayvon Diggs now, but he made me very sad that day.
I was so mad. Like, someone just sent me this and was like, is that you? And it was. It was just me. And it had like 170,000 views on Twitter. And it's
the
just,
light show just going
and it,
crazy.
The light show's going off, and it says, losing to Alabama, a Tennessee tradition since 2007. Oh. And it's just a video of me in the front row.
Let me see
like,
that again.
Negotiating with my life.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're going through it there.
Which, I mean, I am. I don't know if you knew this or not. I am just the face of sad Tennessee fans.
You have another one? Wow, you really are. Man, how many Surrenda Cobras have you
I've
had
been
on TV?
CBS surrendering the Cobra like five times.
Wait, let me go through the gallery.
Like Charlie has one in like almost every major UT sporting event.
We got like I Alabama, my first year. We got Georgia. Oh, that was
Oh my goodness.
That was a bad day. Georgia again, Alabama again, the newspaper at South Carolina, and there's a lot more.
Wow.
I've also been gotten at several SEC basketball games.
Man.
The SEC championship.
There's something about you that they're like, this is the one.
It's like, yeah, this guy, he's sad. And he's a good sad, too. Get the camera on him.
That's awesome.
But I finally got my revenge for the SEC championship.
You need to, like, there was one game I went to where I was, like, wanting to be the Surrenda Cobra.
Now I'm finally
I feel like there are some people that get shown on those games that like once something bad happens, they're like automatically they'll Surrenda Cobra because they want to get on TV. They're like, oh
no, now I have like a heightened sense of awareness. Like yeah. I'll be at the games and I'll start to like go hands to head.
Like, wait.
And then I'll like tuck them behind my back and I'll just like try
Show
to not
no
do
weakness.
It again.
No
I'm not going to give you any more CBS. No free milk. If you want me being sad, you pay me next time.
That's true.
Or how about you get me being happy? Huh? Hey. I don't ever see any Charlie Happy montages on CBS
yeah,
or
you deserve,
on AL.com.
You deserve a little likeness.
I'm happy sometimes, too. Not a lot.
A little name, image,
lately
likeness.
At Tennessee games, but I am this year. I'm happy. Come on. But, I mean, we still haven't even gotten to the
where's
end
of five. CBS at your happiest moments? Where have they been? Where
at other games,
they need
probably.
They need to show you at your happiest.
They don't ever come for the games that I'm happy for.
Oh, no, Florida.
They were besides there. That one. Yeah.
They were there this season. They didn't show you.
That's true. They did get me at Tennessee Auburn when we beat Auburn.
Okay.
Giving like a good fist pump or something like that. So, you know.
I was at that one too.
They're just giving their stake.
Nice.
You were at that one?
Yeah. I was in the Auburn student section.
I was in the Tennessee student section.
Nice.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm a real fan.
Well, I had a ticket in the Auburn section somehow, so.
I've actually wanted to like go to a game and sit in a rival student
there
section.
There was not a lot of people there. There was not a lot of Auburn.
No, it was,
it was fall break.
I remember that game.
It was
very
fall
well.
Break, and it was 11 a.m.
It was noon, and they were like sad, and there
they
was just
quiet.
Not many people.
They
there.
Were very quiet.
Here, we'll go ahead and catch the last break of the hour. We'll wrap up hour one on the other side. Final segment of hour one. We still haven't, I mean, I don't know. I've gotten a sidetrack today. I'm talking about whatever. The two undefined pieces of news, though. Well, the first one, Tennessee set to wear their smoky grays at LSU. That was something we kind of heard about a couple weeks ago. It's now confirmed. It's undefined because there are some people that, of course, they're going to get upset about it. Why are we wearing our smoky grays at LSU? Why can't we just go win a football game? So, you know, there are some people that get that don't like the smoky grays, especially the fact that you're wearing them on the road. Where do you fall on the spectrum of smoky gray uniforms, Andy?
Like in terms of if I like them or if I
yeah,
like that they're doing them on Saturday.
When you saw that they were wearing smoky gray uniforms Saturday, how did you feel?
You know, I felt neutral. Like, I like that they're doing all these different jerseys. Like, I loved the dark mode uniforms last year. They're going to do them again at some point this season. I like bringing back the smoky gray. I think they're going to, like, they look like they did when they first debuted them, and then I think they're going to even change them up in the next few years. So, like, I like it. Like, I think it's fun. I mean, why not? I have no issues with them deciding when they want to wear it or deciding if they want to do it elsewhere. I really don't think it's obviously going to affect the performance. I mean, maybe LSU fans will be like, whoa, they're wearing different jerseys. Maybe that'll be, sure, like, something like that we – take to heart and maybe go after them because they're wearing different jerseys. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I feel like people have worn different jerseys on the road against us before. It is kind of I was interested because it's like, you know, we just haven't done this on the road too often, you know, like wear a different
LSU, they wear their white uniforms at home, so they dictate
you have to wear
like some kind of home uniform. I think
it's gonna be smoky gray versus white. That's kind of fun
with yellow britches.
I kind of like that. That's
so they'll be white on yellow.
It's a very unique color matchup.
Smoky gray. I think it'll look good. Like I think someone pointed out, South Carolina wore some like Wounded Warrior gray Adidas uniforms against them on the road one time, and it looked kind of atrocious. But like
I forget that
those were those weird South Carolina, like those are like those weird Adidas ones that didn't look too good. Like this one, a darker gray, I think it'll look really good. Especially
if LSU,
with the gray lids.
Yeah, if
too.
LSU if they didn't do the weird white, then this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I've seen some fans too that have been like, how disrespectful for you to wear your smoky gray uniforms in our state.
Well, they take away the classic.
It's like, what do you
jersey?
Want us to do, brother?
Like orange.
You got white uniforms.
Orange is usually for home, so it's like.
Yeah, we don't want to wear our orange on the road like that. We have when we've gone to LSU in the past. I also think that like looks terrible.
It looks weird.
The orange with the yellow, I think, just
true.
Like, the two of those on the same field, I think, looks bad. So I'm.
Could they just say white versus white? Let's just do white jersey versus white jersey. See what happens.
That'd be atrocious.
That'd be bad.
I would be so upset.
But like Tennessee wears orange pants and LSU wears their yellow pants.
Oh well, that clears everything.
Yeah,
Andy, you're right.
And you can easily tell.
Now those entirely different.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm excited for it. I think that it's going to look good. And if it pisses LSU off, that's cool with me, too. Piss them off.
I mean, might as well.
Think I care? Be mad, LSU. We're going to come into your trap. We're going to take over your trap. Who cares?
I kind of wish you'd go for Georgia.
For Georgia?
I like the red versus white matchup at Georgia, though. I do like the red. Like I think
I
you go
most,
all white at Georgia.
I don't. I've never loved the all white.
I
like orange britches
white.
With the white.
I think what I want most is for Alabama to wear their home uniforms when we play them. I want to see like orange.
I do
on
love
red.
Like some color on color when the colors are aesthetically pleasing together.
I'm not a huge fan of Alabama's like all white road uniforms.
No, I would love to see. I would love to see orange versus crimson in Neyland 3:30 CBS.
It would feel right.
You guys. You guys usually bring cigars to these games?
No, but I'm going to this year.
Let's go.
Just in case.
Yeah, I've had like a 5-year tradition now where I just sell a cigar to an Alabama fan walking out of the stadium. So I'm hoping that this year is a little different. But they always pay more. I'll be like, yeah, I'll give you this one for $20, and it's always one I bought for like $5. So yeah, at least
there's
a bonus. But hour one done, Andy. You've got some business to attend to. Andy will not be with us hour two. It'll just be me and Sam to take you through the rest of the way. But hour two on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.